Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Understanding that God never sends anybody to hell, it is a choice we make on this earth that decides our destiny. Real is material, and heaven will be material, but also real is spiritual. Can you see love? Can you see friendship? Love, friendship, these are intangible. So in heaven, we discover there will be that which is material and that which is immaterial, that which we can measure objectively and that which we cannot measure subjectively.
The truth is, Christ is preparing a place for you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Dr. Young begins his message today, Heaven is Real, and encourages you to find hope for today in the fact that Jesus is getting ready for your homecoming right now. Hear more in just a moment on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Victory Over Death, Part 2.
Every 3 seconds, someone dies. Every second, 3 people die. Every minute, 180 people die. Every hour, 11,000 people die. Every day, 250,000 people leave this earth. The mortality rate is 100%. 100%. And therefore, when we cease to function as a living person in this world, the atheists, the agnostics say, I don't know. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We go back to dust, to earth, nothingness. We cease to exist. We who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in that book know that when life leaves this body, we go to heaven or we go to hell. Understanding that God never sends anybody to hell, it is a choice we make on this earth that decides our destiny. So we're going to be looking at, for weeks to come, heaven. Heaven. And every time I say heaven is, you'll answer real. Let's try it. Heaven is?
Real.
Here are some of the questions we'll answer in days to come. Look at the screen if you would. We'll answer the question, will we know everything in heaven? Will we all be equal in heaven? Do people in heaven see us now? Will we have emotions in heaven? Will we feel sorrow in heaven for those who are in hell? Will we know everything in heaven? We all be equal in heaven? People in heaven see us now? Will we be free to sin in heaven? There's a good question. Will we possess anything in heaven? Will you have anything? Will we wear clothes in heaven? Are there animals in heaven? Is heaven serious or funny? Why won't we be bored in heaven? Will we have bodies in heaven? And that's what we'll look at next week. We'll look at a supernatural body in a supernatural world. Because we know one thing, that heaven is
real.
How many of you have ever got on the internet and looked at real estate on the internet? Would you lift your hand? You just looked at real estate? A lot of people. Good, good, good. It's called real estate. For example, if we got the right zip code, we went to Santa Barbara, California, here's a house we could see that's for sale right now. Look at it. Santa Barbara, there it is. Nice little house there in Santa Barbara. But it's a bargain. They want only $74 million for it. So, I mean, let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. There's a house for sale there, real estate. Let's look at that zip code. Here's the house. Atlanta, Georgia. Nice house. They want only $750,000 for that one. Oh, let's go to Amman, Jordan. How many have ever been to Jordan? Lift your hand. It's a great country. I've been there. Amman, Jordan. Look at this house in Amman, Jordan. That's the view over Amman. The house is for sale there. Okay. They want $750,000, roughly, in our money for that house in Amman, Jordan. So, on the internet, there are three houses for sale, so what do you get? I guess we should auction them off, but how many of you people believe that these houses are real and they exist in Santa Barbara and Atlanta and Amman? How many of you really believe that? Would you lift your hand? Now, you can't see those literally, but we believe they're there. They are real. But sometimes we can be confused about what we see and what we don't see. Like the two blondes were on the coast and they look out over there and they look at the moon, and one blonde says to the other, "Are we closer to the moon or to Florida?" And the other blonde says, "Can you see Florida?" So we can be confused about what is real and what is not real. But we know one thing in our study, that as we talked about Easter, Christ is risen.
He is indeed.
We will see that heaven is. Now, people have trouble believing that because it is out of this world, but is real. Heaven exists. Let me show you how real it is. Would everybody clap your hands? Then that chair, you just feel that chair. Would you feel a little bit? All right, take a deep breath. Oh, that's real, isn't it? You know, the chair, the noise, the clap. Heaven is just that real. And we'll talk about reality in a sense. Most of us think reality has to do with material. If it's real, it has to be material. But we know after we think about it, that's not true. Real is material, and heaven will be material, but also real is spiritual. Can you see love? Can you see friendship? Love, friendship, these are intangible. So in heaven, we discover there will be that which is material and that which is immaterial, that which we can measure objectively and that which we cannot measure subjectively. We will have a resurrected body that will be real spiritually and physically in another dimension, and we'll look at that next time we gather. But now we're talking about heaven. And when I think about heaven, you know the verse that comes to my mind and the chapter is John 14. Most of us are familiar with John 14, chapter number 14, verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Now let's get the context of Jesus speaking these words. He's in the upper room. It's only hours before his arrest and his crucifixion. This is valedictory address in which he's instructing those 11 apostles one last time, and he's trying to teach them and let them understand that he's about to leave. Now, a lot of people take this passage and they say, "Let not your heart be troubled." And they say, "Well, if you're a Christian, you should never have any troubles. You can cut on television, hear that 24/7. Well, if you're a Christian and you're serving the Lord and you have enough faith, you're not really have any trouble. You'll just wash away troubles. You'll be healthy and wealthy and wise and free from any concern." And they take this verse and use it as one of the texts that they'll use. Or Romans 8:20 thing, "All things work together for good to those who love God. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled." We as Christians should not have trouble. But we know from personal experience that is a lie. It is simply phony. It is not true. Why? One reason, there is evil in the world. Anybody want to debate about that a while? I had lunch this past week with a member of the House Armed Services Committee. And we talked a little bit, and he told me, as I agreed and I understood prior to the meeting, that we have on our docket today in the world potentially the most devastating situation America has ever faced. Did you hear that? The most devastating situation we've ever faced, and most of us don't get it. It's not Russia. Not the situation in Syria, it's not Iran, it's North Korea. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The situation in North Korea will have to be addressed in the next few months. And there's no good way to do it that I can see yet, that anybody else in government can see yet. But that potentially has overwhelming ramifications for all of us, even right here in Houston, Texas, anywhere in the United States of America, because there is evil in the world. And we could show evil in some religious groups. We could show evil in some people who are just mentally confused, some people who are addicted. There is evil in the world, so there is trouble in the world. But we don't have to look at a global perspective. We can look in our lives. And there's trouble in individual lives. There's trouble in relationships. There's trouble in families. There's trouble in our vocations. There's trouble with our health. All around us we see there are troubles. But this scripture says, "Let not your heart be troubled." But we are surrounded by troubles. We have troubles. Everybody who walks this earth has troubles. Jesus did. In the preceding chapter, John 13, it says Jesus was troubled. Well, how in the world can Jesus be troubled? You're reading the context there. It's because one of his close associates he'd followed with, he loved, he believed in, he discipled, he had trained. This associate was selling him out. By the way, nobody can really hurt you deeply unless you've loved them, been with them, shared your life with them, they'd shared your life. That's somebody who can really hurt you. Other people can scar you, but you can back away. But somebody that's really walked inside of life with you, that's the people who can hurt you. This is what Judas did. Jesus was troubled because of Judas. Jesus was troubled because of the braggadocious idea of Peter. Jesus said in the 13th chapter of John, I'm going away, I'm not going to be with you. And Peter says, where are you going? And Jesus says, you can't go with me. And Peter says, I'll go with you. I'll lay down my life for you. It's big talk, isn't it? Jesus looked at the bombastic Pete and said, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows three times in the morning, you'll deny you even know me. Jesus was troubled. He was troubled because he was facing the shame of the cross. He was troubled because he knew the Father would turn his back on him. He was troubled because he knew he would take upon himself all the trash of your life and my life and the trash of the world. Jesus was troubled. But in the midst of the trouble, he was concerned about his apostles. Isn't that something? He was preparing them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he gave them three reasons why they should not let trouble take over their lives. Not that they would not have problems and challenges and pain and suffering and difficulties, but he gave three reasons how you handle it, how you find victory in it. And look what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Number one, believe in God, believe also in me. When trouble comes to you, when trouble comes to me, the first thing we have to do is to trust God and trust Jesus Christ. It's trust. Can God be trusted? He created this world. Can Jesus be trusted as you look at his life and his words? He not only taught these principles, he lived them out. So Jesus is saying, trouble comes. Don't let trouble get over you and control you and ruin your life. He said, put your trust in me as you put your trust in Almighty God. That's where we begin when troubles come. We trust. We believe. Put our full weight down upon him. And what's the next thing Jesus says when trouble comes? He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's saying, look, when trouble comes, the worst thing can happen is your life can be taken from you. You can leave this earth. But he said, that shouldn't be an overwhelming trouble because he said, I have gone ahead of you. I have paved the way for you, and I have prepared a place just for you. And that will be our home. Anybody thinks they're at home on this earth, you are fooling yourself. It's just like here are fish in an aquarium, and they're swimming around, and they look contented. I don't know. None of them have ever seemed like they were upset at me. But don't you know instinctively those fish say, surely there's something more than this little rectangle bowl of water here. See, they were meant to be in the ocean. We're like that, folks. You see, we're made in the image of God, therefore... all of us breathe something of the air of the Garden of Eden. I mean, this world isn't big enough to contain us. We'll never be totally fulfilled, totally satisfied, totally on top of things, totally happy in this world. It's not going to happen because we're made for something more and bigger than this world. And Jesus says, I'm going ahead of you. Whatever happens in this life, you go to the next life. I have prepared a place for you. Let me tell you something. If you ever come visit us in our home, my wife, Jo Beth, she'll have everything prepared for you. And she'll see that what she doesn't do, I'll do. We have in our kitchen a little chalkboard, and she writes, welcome, and puts your name on it. That's pretty personal, isn't it? And she'll find out what kind of coffee you like. She'll find out, do you drink Diet Coke? I say, surely not. Oh, yes. Oh. And she'll try to prepare meals and set the whole environment from the bed if you're spending the night to all the little bitty extra things. My wife is just Phi Beta Kappa in doing all the little things that prepare someone to help them feel totally at home. Jesus is saying God has done that for all of his sons and all of his daughters. That's heaven. He's prepared a place for you. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We'll never be totally at home here, but when we all get to heaven, we'll be completely at home there in a way that we can't even imagine in this life. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. What God has, what's the word, prepared for those of us who love him, those of us who are in relation with him. So don't let trouble overwhelm you. Don't let trouble overwhelm me, because we trust God, we trust Christ, and we know Jesus has gone ahead of us and prepared a place for us. And when we get there, your initials will be there, and for the first time, you'll be totally at home. The best day of my life will be the last day I live on this earth. But the last day of I live on this earth will not by a long shot be the best day of my life.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The word here is sun antilambanotai. Sun meaning with, anti means on the other side. Lambanotai means to take hold of. That's a big word. It means that God goes on the other side when we pray and so identifies with us. We utter our words and the Holy Spirit takes our words and interprets them to Jesus who sits at the right hand of God. Isn't that thrilling? You say, I don't know how to pray. Don't worry about it. Pray. Jesus takes up the slack and says exactly the words that we should pray to the Son of God. I heard a story about a man who suffered from a constant headache. All day long, for weeks and weeks, his head hurt. Finally, he went to the doctor, did a CAT scan and an MRI, but the tests were inconclusive. A few days later, the man went to a tailor to get some new shirts. The tailor measured his neck and said, you need a size 70.5. That's your neck size. But the man insisted, my neck is 50.5. Make the shirts 50.5. So the tailor said, all right, I'll do it, but you'll have a constant headache. Sometimes we just want to treat symptoms, but the Holy Spirit is a great diagnostician. When you're ready to deal with the real problems in your life, just ask the Lord. The Holy Spirit will speak clear and plain.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young continues his message with more proven truth from God's Word about the hope heaven gives you today.